This is Nefa and Brother Craig, and we got in the virtual studio with us comrade Dr. Jared Ball. What's up, Dr. JB?
What's up, good people?
Man, we had to bring you on. I saw this tweet that you made. It was right on time because it was something I had been thinking about, and I was actually going to ask you about it directly, and then all of a sudden you tweeted about it. Let me just read it, and then we'll just get into this. And you tweeted, "Yes, I can be proud of my particular mixture and background while also being clear about the anti-blackness and all this projected commercial distribution of interracial couples, families, etc., and the encouraged response that this somehow signifies a civilizational advance." And so, you know, I saw that and it seemed to capture better what, you know, put into better words my concerns that I had about all this rise in, like, all these commercials and everything. And I guess one of my hesitancies, and I'll be honest with you, I was, you know, I had to think about how to ask it because I didn't want to be offensive or even not just to you or to anybody, but also even come across to anyone as if my position is somehow anti-interracial couples and families or whatever. So I tagged on, you know, I'm not that, but also, like, you put in your thing, but I can also be clear about, et cetera, et cetera, what you put. So anyway, thank you for being on, coming on. Let's just start with asking you to tease out that tweet that you made and, you know, what spurred it on.
Sure. First of all, you could never offend me. So let's just be clear on that. Let's just start
you got
with
thick
that.
Skin.
You know, well, but also no, but I mean, but you in that. Particular, no, but oh. no, that's not what I mean. You, Netfa,
oh, okay.
My comrade, my brother, you yeah. Asking me a question could never be offensive.
Okay.
So I want to be clear about that, but no, I am not above being offended. I don't want to claim that. And I don't want to claim, you know, falsely claim I'm so thick skinned that I can handle anything. And I don't want to invite it, which is in part, by the way, it's something I always think about what David Gilbert, the political prisoner, once said in an interview. He said that were he to be tried for his actions by the people, he would be willing to accept whatever the punishment would be for, you know, traversing, you know, their interests, not by an ignoble state. And that's sort of how I feel about this. So it's not so much that I mind having these conversations. It's that I am aware how they are politicized and misused by others in others' politicized spaces. So that's why I'm saying with you, you could never offend me. But others might offend me, if not personally, in the way that they carry out these kinds of conversations, which is sort of where that tweet was coming from. So my point is simply that, yes, my mother is a Jew. My father was a black man. I am extremely proud of both of them and what they produced in me. Okay. But that's separate from what is being done with the projection of so-called mixed race or biracial or multiracial children or interracial relationships. So it's sort of how I feel about anything. All of us should be confident and comfortable in our personal identities, however we define them. That's one thing. That brings us, as I often say, brings us to the door of political struggle. Going through that door and entering political struggle means separating our personal self-concept from the ways in which those identities are politicized in the context of that broader struggle. So in the context of our work of anti-imperialism, anti-capitalism, pan-Africanism, et cetera, and so forth, I recognize that, and in particular in the context of a media system like this one that is decidedly pro-capitalist and imperial and designed to serve that purpose, that when there's an increase in this projection of happy interracial couples and so-called mixed race children, that I'm clear that this is not an attempt to make me as an individual or someone of that sort of background to feel better. It is done for a number of reasons. I think, number one, to be anti-black, because it suggests that a black couple with black children is somehow retrograde or reactionary or regressive. It suggests that we are sort of advancing into some sort of post-racial utopia. It depoliticizes those relationships and what kinds of politics and conversations can and often are generated in those situations. And I think it ultimately encourages people like me, those offsprings of those relationships, to see ourselves as, again, part of an advancing progressive society and not the offspring or the extension of, puns intended, of a hostile relationship. So my mother and my father's relationship for the time they had one was one thing. To sort of use that as some sort of symbol for what is the broader relationship between white and black, or imperialism or colonizer and colonized, is a mistake. And that's sort of what I'm seeing happen here as, and then also as we can come back to an extension of some of the critical mixed race theory that I've somewhat been introduced to over the years, which, you know, I think raises even more important questions about how these so-called identities are being displayed and projected. So anyway, it's somewhere in there that I was trying to find a 200 or whatever character intervention of some kind.
In tweets, yeah. You know, I agree with everything you said. I was one thing I might throw in there, because I was trying to also do a little reading up on it. And it was not, it was another article, not the one I sent you from the Hill, but it was something, I can't find it anymore. And it was also recognizing this, but saying, so, and also maybe we should have done this before we started the interview for the listeners, the sake of what we're talking about is this seeming to arise in or increase or an emergence of the interracial couples and families depicted in commercials. And basically, I'm seeing it in commercials. I don't know if, I guess I'm not seeing it necessarily in programmings, but I don't watch a whole lot of TV like that.
Well, there is, for instance, just quickly, forgive this interruption, but there is that show Mixed-ish. Which I did. I've only watched one or two episodes, but in it, I saw a number of problems in the presentation of it. For instance, the utopian, which for me is nonsensical, attempt to deracialize or remove from discussions of race the children of this mixed race couple, of this interracial couple, of a white man and a black woman. And then the presentation of the white Reagan supporting grandfather as sort of a comedic acceptable presence, when, for instance, certainly in my own and many other households, Reagan was a nightmare and a terrorist, not someone to be valorized and turn it to comedic, you know, fanfare. But my point is, just the presentation of it was, to me, just again, very unrealistic in terms of never mind my own experience, but I think what is the experience of so-called mixed race children growing up in the 70s and 80s, particularly in a sort of post civil rights era where race was at the center of everything. So the idea, anyway, so it to me, it was just, it's an attempt to present the past in a way that today is meant to see these relationships, which is again, as some sort of automatic and net positive. And by the way, the last set of studies that I saw, I think that was in Pew, and this may be about 10 years ago, so there have been a massive sea change, was reporting that then, at least, not even 10 years ago, but anyway, was reporting then at least that there was an increase in interracial relationships, but that the one group that was least partnered with those outside their race were black women. So it was, again, this, and I even presented this to a colleague who had presented this to me as if it was a positive. And I asked him, how can I see this as a positive if black women are left out of this equation? What is that then saying? That if everybody gets together outside of being with black women, that somehow we should see this as an advance? Mm-hmm. So this is what, right. But the assumption is
intersections
anyway.
Of sexism. And no, go ahead.
Well,
intersections of patriarchy or some kind of sexism or some anti-black womanness.
I mean, that's how I took it. And it's certainly anti-black family, anti-black collective. So again, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't have to demean my own background or parentage to still recognize the beauty and strength and necessity even of black communities and black families. So, and I don't want to suggest that if black people, if black people want to date outside of their race, so-called, and I get race as a social, I get all that. But if black people want to date someone outside of their community, great. That's fine. Make your individual choice. Peace be unto you. If it's projected as that is somehow an advance, that's the problem I have. And that's what I see happening here. That it's not just people falling in love and blah, 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 blah. It's that no, if that if you abandon, in this case, particularly black women, and find an Asian or European or Latino or which is itself defined as outside of Afro-Latin America. So again, all the politics is all messed up there too. But if you do that somehow, that this is supposed to be, as I was trying to say, a civilizational advance. And I just, I don't agree.
Well, one of the, I'm glad I talked to you about, because you've obviously done more, I guess, even homework on this. The article that I read earlier, a few, I don't know how long ago, was also, and it was only relegated to commercials because that's the most I did. You know, now you're letting me know that there's more to it than this. But it was suggesting that also the commercial, the corporations are doing this in commercials because they see it as being able to project to their potential customers that they're progressive or something like that. And so that this is like, you know, but it makes more sense now, given what you're, you know, you're kind of filling in the context of why this is on. And so basically to commit when it comes to commercials, and in addition to everything else you laid out, it's also to make profits, I guess, in this world. People are going to jump onto it also as a bandwagon because it is seen as something to foster profits and whatnot. But I wanted to.
But just quickly on that, yes, it is in commercials and yes, this is happening. And of course they're trying to capture markets, but I think that there's always something bigger and more ideologically situated happening when this stuff occurs. So for instance, there has always been this history of a fear of white corporations advertising in black targeted media spaces because they not only felt that black people couldn't afford their products, but that they didn't, and this was exposed over 20 plus years ago in documents, et cetera, that they literally were saying, we don't want black people showing up in our physical space to buy our product. It's not a matter of that they can't afford our product. We just don't want to see them. We don't want to see them in the Audi dealership and the Mercedes dealership and in the fancy wherever else clothing line. We don't want to see them there. So what I also think is happening here is that they're not only presenting interracial couples as some sort of advance civilizationally, they're suggesting that, well, which they are, but they're suggesting that a black person with a white partner is now not only more likely able to afford the product, because some of these studies do point to relationships between affluence and advanced degrees in the prevalence of interracial relationships. But they're also saying that if a black person comes in on the arm of a white person or an Asian, at least, they are less dangerous. They are more safe. They are more socially acceptable in those spaces. So again, I would also want to reject that as well, because certainly, even personally, I would never, ever have ever accepted a situation where my presence or my mother's presence somehow would be used to add some humanity to my father. You know, damn that. So the idea that this would be happening, or at least I would see it happening more broadly speaking, I think is also something that should be, you know, raised up for some critique.
Mm-hmm. Craig. And let me just jump. Yeah, I'm going to try to jump in here. I know our time is short and some of these things you touched on, but it suggests to me this phenomenon that this portrayal of these kinds of relationships is sort of subconsciously suggesting that, you know, racism doesn't exist or somehow it's diminished to some level that can't be measured, or it's attempting to make this space where, you know, those in denial about racism and racial conflict, where they can now feel comfortable. And even it sort of suggests in a subtle way that ideas like black nationalism or African consciousness are obsolete, like that's some type of a outdated, obsolete perspective. And yet you see some members of the African community really, you know, supporting some of these shows and responding favorably to these types of portrayals. So I don't know. I know you touched on some of that, but what would you say about some of those points that I'm bringing up?
So again, I cannot help but put this into a broader context so that we know historically outside of the United States, European imperialism has intentionally, for instance, in Southern Africa, attempted to literally create so-called mixed or colored populations to be eventual buffer groups against a coming wave of African consciousness and African revolution. Within the United States, the only reason that situation was different from any other place in the world was that the white settler population came in full family here and didn't need to expand itself through admixture. So that's why we get the one drop rule in this country, and which is why I'm black here. But as soon as I travel outside of this country, I am deemed white in most parts of the rest of the world because one drop of white blood meant either you are mixed or white. So what I'm seeing, this increase in the projection of interraciality, so to speak, in this country, is that this is the expansion of American capitalism, the need for it to expand beyond its borders, the need for that logic to expand beyond its borders, to create, to again try to create consciously a buffer group a global buffer group that would continue to suppress not only African unity and African consciousness, but obviously the coming African rebellion and revolution, which the increasing and continued waves of oppression and exploitation seem to demand almost scientifically. So again, when we see segments of the Black community cajoled or welcomed by depictions of sort of advancing Black womanhood with a white partner or some variation of that, we're simply seeing a new form of invitations to accept the logic of colonialism, to accept the neo-colonial position, to say, as I've even heard many sisters, not many, I should say some sisters over the years, you know, when they see another sister with a white man, say, oh, she got hers, you know, like she came up, you know, like, you know, like she bagged one, you know, good for her, as opposed to saying, you know, how dare you, you know, not stick with the Black, but a Black man with a white woman is, you know, has done something different, you know? So, I mean, it's always interesting to note how these things play out, but really it is just the various ways we're all invited to accept the logic of our domination. And this is just, I think, a version tailored to this so-called interracial and mixed race community.
So this brings us to another side issue, really, which is important in this whole equation. And that is how the media itself, you know, television programs, movies, commercials, are powerful in introducing overtly, covertly, you know, consciously and subconsciously, these kinds of thoughts and ideas and cultivating these sort of forces in our community. Because like you mentioned, you take some of the, I don't watch a lot of TV, but, you know, I've seen that popular show Scandal, where Kerry Washington is in some type of a mistress relationship with the white Republican president. And I believe that show was widely watched and supported by African women watching that show. I never really did find too many brothers watching it, you know. So just, you know, thinking about that, just the power of the media, TV, in advertising, in promoting these kinds of ideas.
Well, listen, I continue to try to learn more and more every day about the relationship media have to the society. And what is really clear is that from their perspective, that is those who are in, as Marx would have said, in control of the mental means of production. What they're very clear on is that media are here, as Yasha Levine points out in his book, Surveillance Valley, to suppress counterinsurgency abroad and within the United States, and with Black people as a specific and particular target here in this country. So their interests are using media as psychological warfare, and then using all these different euphemisms like propaganda or public relations or advertising to soften us for the blow. And that's really how I see this more and more. So advertising literally operates on the same logic as psychological warfare, and is put together and developed literally by the same segments of the society to do the same thing, to push us in certain directions and to lay the groundwork for the reality where the product being advertised would even be sold. So it's never just a commercial. It's never just a TV show. It's never just a song. And the more we like any of these products, the more we should be critical of them and be careful and look even more closely for the counterinsurgency suppressing attempts, because they're clear. Exploitation is on the come up more and more is coming, and there's not going to be any redress. So media are here to help close the gap between what we're living in our material reality and what we think either should be or is happening in a broader society. It's meant to reconcile that for us so that we don't raise the kinds of questions we're supposed to be raising. So that's the only way I'm able to see this at this point, even when I engage in media that I know is silly and making me, you know, just relax or whatever. I'm not saying I'm above or separate from this. I'm just saying I even recognize that that's what's happening even when I'm in those moments. So that's the only way I can see these commercials and what they're here for. They're not here to just sell a product, and they're not here to just invite more people to commerce. They're here to set a political agenda. And I think the extension of the logic to prepare for an international buffer blocking revolutionary activity and organization is what they're ultimately looking to do.
It makes me remember, and I always think about this, something I heard you tell us in a I think a PACA thing when you were giving the presentation. I've heard you say it before. We always have to ask ourselves, why do we like what we like, and how do we know what we know? And so anyway, in the time remaining, though, I'm going to ask you to do this on maybe slightly aside note, but not really. Give some plug about Black Power Media, what it is, how people can access it and whatnot. I ask all the Black Power Media folks to do that when we interview them.
Sure. So Black Power Media is just a relatively new collective born of a merger between me and the Renegade Culture Crew. And we've brought in, a bunch of heavy hitters, obviously. And are looking to expand because we want to create a Black radical public sphere. And I've long felt that we need this kind of collaborative effort and engagement with the internet, because we can't keep doing this as individuals, you know, weakening our own impact. And this, I think, will help magnify that. And it brings us into some dialogue and discussion. It's a lot more fun. And coming on 420, that is April 20th of 2021, 8 a.m. Eastern, we'll be launching the Remix Morning Show. So we'll be having a morning show, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings. And then we're going to have, all of our other regular content and many more programs coming. So, it's just an exciting project, and I look forward to seeing it grow and, getting more people involved. So
thanks.
Thank you very much, man.
It's a YouTube station, right?
Yeah, YouTube channel. But the best way to just go through blackpowermedia.org, and then they can find everything. Yeah, blackpowermedia.org. And then
I should have known if you was going to do the whole thing.
No, because part of the problem is, we can't, and we're seeing it happen. We've seen it happen with Hood Communists this week and the AAPRP. And we've seen it happen with segments even on the white left. These internet spaces can be shut down.
Yeah.
So we need PFW, we need low power, communication, but we also need alternatives beyond just YouTube and other social media outlets. So
private corporations are beholden to the capitalist imperialist system.
That's it.
They're not just friendly to it or, whatever. I'm not beholden to it. What do you call it? They are it.
They are it. That's it. That's it. So, there's all kinds of contradictions in working with these spaces, and we recognize that. But we're trying to do, the best we can and emulate some stuff and extend some of the work that, all of us have been doing, and certainly you continue to do for a long time. So,
Thank you. All right. That was Dr. Jared Ball. You can also go to imixwhatilike.org, and like he said, also blackpowermedia.org. Hey, always a pleasure to have you, brother.
Likewise. Thank you very much. Anytime.
That's a wrap for this week. Thank you for listening, and please continue to tune in to Voices with Vision every Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and like our page, Voices with Vision, on Facebook.
Yes, you can listen and subscribe to Voices with Vision on podcast on podcast.google.com, iTunes, and player.fm. Just search for Voices with Vision WPFW. If you like, you can follow me, Netfa, on Twitter at NetfaFree, NETFA Free. Keep it here on WPFW 89.3 for Crossroads with Roach Brown. Get politically educated, organized, and committed to the fight for the liberation of your people. Or
fall back.
It goes FALLBACK. Fall back if you ain't trying to ride for your people. Fall back if you ain't trying to die for your people. FALLBACK. Fall back if you ain't trying to ride for your freedom. Fall back if you ain't trying to die for your freedom. LIBRBG. We live.
You will have the opportunity to vote in a referendum for.